welcome to A Bookish Home. I'm Laura Zara-Kopinski. On this week's episode, Jessica Fitzpanzos joins me to discuss her role as Head of Reader Services at the Chelmsford Public Library in Massachusetts, where I am a frequent patron. Jessica shares ideas for getting the most from your library card, the books she's recommending to patrons right now, and more. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Jessica Fitzpanzos, welcome to A Bookish Home. I'm so excited to talk books with another librarian today.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really excited too.
Yeah, so you are Head of Reader Services at the Chelmsford Public Library. Can you tell me a little about your role and what a typical day is like for you?
Well, there isn't really a typical day. I mean, things come and go, but Reader's Advisory is a really big part of my job. And that means I've learned different ways to have a conversation with people about books and help them find the book that is in line with what they like to read. And I emphasize they there because it's not about what people think they should be reading, but more about what they like to read. Too often I think people won't ask a librarian for recommendations because they're afraid that what they read is maybe too frivolous or they won't use the right words to describe their favorite books. But, you know, I say, what you like to read is the only thing that matters, and I read all the reviews. I check a lot of different sites for recommendations of books, and so I have a wealth of different titles, different genres that I can recommend to people. Reader's Advisory is really about satisfying two of the core library principles, which is every reader his or her book, and every book its reader. And that also relates to another part of my day-to-day job, which is collection development. And that involves reading the reviews and buying the books so that we can have a really great quality, entertaining, and diverse collection on the shelves.
Those are my two favorite parts of being a librarian. Yeah. It's great that you're focusing in on all that. And are you mainly focusing on adults?
Yeah, so I focus on adults for adult fiction and graphic novels, the large print collection, which is really important to our readers. And then I make recommendations for nonfiction as well, but that's certainly, it's not my specialty. It's more like if something comes along that people are looking for that we don't have, then I'll make a recommendation to buy that too. So I try to keep on top of, everything that's being published and what people are looking for.
And when you're thinking about Reader's Advisory, so I've mainly worked in a school library where kids are probably a little bit more open to coming up to you and asking for suggestions, and I sort of have a captive audience for library lessons. How much of your job is those in-person conversations with someone coming up to you, and how much is trying to reach adult readers in other ways?
Yeah, so I mean, a big part of it now is also passive Reader's Advisory, which is the creation of book lists and lists online. We have a quarterly book share program that we do, another librarian get together and create like a list of books that are coming out or have just come out that we think readers would really love. And that list gets shared with a live audience. And then it also goes out by email to a list of people that sign up for it. And then it also gets posted online. So we use those lists to create bookmarks of different genres. And then we also have like little booklets in the stacks. So if you have a series, an author that has a series, you can find a booklet that will give you all of the books in the series, but also other books that you would like to read if you like this author. So you can start to move around the fiction collection using these lists and sort of, broaden your reading scope, I guess.
I think that's great. Yeah. I've seen those around at the library. I think that's really helpful, especially for people who are a little bit nervous to go up to a librarian and ask. And I do think you made a really good point about people sort of owning what they love to read. Life's too short to be reading books that you don't love. So I think that's such a great attitude, and it would be great if more people realize it's sort of nice that you're putting that message out there, like, come up to your librarian, whatever you love to read, we've got suggestions for you. I think that's really great.
Absolutely. We love to talk about books. I mean, from any desk, not just the little information desk that we have put especially for readers advisory transactions, which now functions also as like a general information desk. But a lot of it happens from the circulation desk. You know, people come up with their books and the person behind the desk will look at the book and recognize the author and then start having a conversation about like what other authors they've read that they've liked and, you know, whether or not they like the book in hand. So we're always trying to have those conversations.
For sure. I would just say one thing I've really noticed about the Chelmsford Library in particular is that circulation desk experience. I have just found the people working at the desk to be so friendly and helpful, and they are always having those conversations. I remember I took out a book recently, about a month ago, The Late Bloomers Club, which I ended up loving, but the people at the desk were chatting with me like, oh, that looks like such a good cover, and
yeah,
let us know what
yeah.
you think of it. And I just think it has a really, the whole library really, I think, has such a friendly, inviting atmosphere, and I just think that really comes through. So
absolutely.
It's great.
Thank you. That's great. Oh, no, I'm so glad that that we're having that effect on people, because that's definitely what we want to do.
Yeah. And you know, well, I am an avid user, so that might be part of it. But the other day I went to go pick up library holds and the person working even remembered my name. It's just a very, a really nice atmosphere, a nice place to go. So I'm curious a little bit about what your path was to deciding to become a librarian. Is that something you always knew that you wanted to do?
No, I mean, I'll be honest, like most people, I think, outside of the library world, I really didn't ever think of librarianship as a profession before. I mean, I've always loved libraries. I've loved to be in libraries. I've loved to study in libraries. I've loved to get books from libraries. But I didn't really think about all of the background that goes into being a librarian. I graduated with a degree in English and philosophy, and then, you know, I kind of went to get some real work experience, real in quotes. and then I was living in D.C., so I was having fun. But then, you know, I've always loved to read. I love technology, pop culture, live events, and to write about things like that. So, you know, I was sort of searching around for a profession that incorporated all of those things. And I, you know, I was thinking about teaching or writing, but, you know, then I went to work at LexisNexis, which is a big database that is used in a lot of legal libraries and academic libraries, and there I met a lot of librarians that had actually been to library school or been, you know, to get the MLS degree, and I started reading more about it, and it turned out that at the time it was kind of a growing profession. It was expanding, and so I decided to go to library school. I went to University at Albany. They had a library program, information science program, and you know, over the course of that, I thought I might do academic libraries to sort of incorporate the English academic part of it. But then I thought, you know, I really wanted to serve my community. I wanted to give back. And so that's when I decided to go into public libraries because it was an opportunity to provide people with things that they like to read and also to design programs for people and provide them with necessary services that they may not be able to get other places, like free computer internet access, help with technology, reference assistance, and things like that. So, I'm really glad that I finally found out about it.
Yeah, that's great. And how long have you been at the Chelmsford Library?
Now I've been, almost 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
okay.
I started in November of 2013. Yeah.
That's great. Well, you sort of touched on this, but for people who maybe it's been a while since they have visited their local public library, could you talk a little bit sort of about the Chelmsford Library's role in the community and some of the services that they offer and sort of what you see patrons taking advantage of?
Oh, we offer all kinds of things. I mean, you know, people will walk in the door and they'll be surprised that we lend out DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always surprised by that. But, you know, we have the typical services like DVDs, CDs, books, music, audiobooks, those kinds of materials. But we also have a huge demand for our study rooms, which we offer to people for free. They can come in and use the study rooms. Nonprofit, you know, you can't, there can't be any exchange of money or anything like that. But they, you know, a lot of tutors will bring in their students to use those rooms. Students themselves will come in for a quiet area to study. We also have proctoring exams. We also proctor exams for students who are doing online or distance learning. And we have, but yeah, our meeting spaces are in demand, the conference room and the large meeting room on the main level, where we do our programs, but also community organizations come in and use those for their meetings as well. And then the tech help is a big part of it too. People bring in their devices. We offer one-on-one sessions for people, so we'll sit down with them for, not my, me as a reference staff now does it. They sit down for 30 minutes with patrons and we'll help them figure out their iPhones and their Kindles and help them to use our downloadable services like Overdrive and Hoopla and Freegle, which is our free streaming music service. Downloadable music service. Those services are in demand. Our children's room is always busy.
I can attest to that. It definitely is.
Story times are hugely popular. So, you know, those services have been expanded a little bit too. But some people just come in looking for a conversation.
Right.
You know, they just stop by the desks and yeah, like you mentioned before, the staff at that main desk there on the main level, they're so friendly and they know everyone. And they've really, really seems like they've developed friendships with a lot of people in the community.
Sure.
Yeah. And so one of the things that we're working on right now is to really kind of expand on that connection to the community. We were awarded a grant for the next year to promote civic engagement and civility in the community. So we're trying to become kind of a civic hub where we'll provide programs to, you know, we really want to press on the fact that the library is a safe place and we encourage diversity. So it's a safe place to have those difficult conversations about the issues that are kind of circulating in the news right now.
And then
it's also a very trusted resource for information, a fact-based information. Our librarians are, you know, well-trained in being able to find trusted resources, you know, and kind of like push away what they call the fake news the biased information. So we're very unbiased, fact-based resources.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like it's such a vibrant part of the community and such a vital resource. And, you know, I think if people have not checked out their local public library recently, they really should. And one of the things I think is so important, and you say this right on the website or it's right on the library website, sign up for your library card and start saving money today. I mean, the fact that you don't have to buy every book that you want to read or that your kids want to read, I think is huge. And that, you know, as a parent now, I'm so grateful to have all of these different story times and events that we can attend for free and, you know, expose our kids to that early literacy and songs and interaction with other kids and adults. So I just think it's such an important piece of the community, and I feel really lucky to have access to this library. And, you know, I'm always keeping an eye on the event calendar, and I would say people should definitely do that and just see what's offered. I mean, I was just looking at it earlier. There's, you know, there's a writing group that meets, there's book clubs, there's different lectures.
Oh, we have a lot of book clubs. Yeah,
it's wonderful. Are you involved at all in some of those adult book clubs that are going on?
Yeah, I am. I mean, another part of my job is programming, adult programming in general. So I design a lot of the programs that you see on the calendar for adults. My colleague, the head of reference, also does some of the Friday lectures, and he does the science conversation and some of the technology. But a lot of the other things, like the upcoming Ted Reinstein is coming on September 5th, and the basketball
Celtics legend Sam Jones is coming on September 11th. Those kinds of things,
oh, wow.
Like you know, either people have contacted me or I've contacted them, and they will bring them in to do free lectures. I mean, the library is really, the great thing about the public library is that it's really one of the last true public spaces where anybody can come in, and like you said, there's no one needs to pay for it. You can just sit in the library, and you don't have to like buy a coffee in order to sit there.
Right.
You can. It's and you know, like I said, there's people from all backgrounds come in, and it's kind of like a great mixing of people. It's one of the last places where that actually happens.
Idea of having like a third place. I think the library really serves, and you know, I think when you're new to the area as well, it's a nice place to be able to go and try to meet other people or participate in events and try to meet people that way. And so switching gears a little bit to the books in particular, do you have books right now that you're really excited to be recommending to patrons, or are there books in particular that you're seeing that are really popular right now in the library?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we've got the popular summer reads. We've got Elin Hildebrand's A Perfect Couple is very in demand. Beatrice Williams is The Summer Wives. And, of course, mm-hmm. James Patterson and Bill Clinton's The President is Missing. Huge holes list for those. But also, because it was recently made into a movie, everyone's now reading Kevin Kwan's Crazy Rich Asians.
Which I love so much.
It was so good, yeah. It's hilarious. And,
Did you see the movie yet?
It's such a good story. I haven't seen it, no.
Oh, it was good. And I have to say, I'm always, you probably can relate to this, I'm always nervous when I love the book if I should go see the movie. And this was a case where I actually felt like the movie was a really fun addition to the reading experience. So
sure. I've been seeing great reviews for it, and of course it's like it's the first movie in the last 25 years that's had an all Asian cast, including the leads, which is just amazing to me.
It is amazing.
But beyond that, it's just such a fun story. And then his other one too is China Rich Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Is another one that's really funny. And then, you know, because Kristen Hanna was our choice for One Book Chelmsford last year, and she drew like over almost 900 people to come and see her talk, her latest is still really hot with our patrons.
Can I tell you my big bookish regret around that? I was looking at the website, and it reminded me. So I didn't really get into the Nightingale, so I didn't go to the Kristen Hanna event. And now it sort of haunts me because I read The Great Alone and just was so swept up in that story and loved it so much. And now I'm just kicking myself. I could have seen her, and I didn't go. I'm so sad about that.
Yeah, it was The Great Alone. It's based on her true experience.
She
had a very similar experience growing up. And so I think that's why it really resonates with people, because it is so personal to her. Whereas the Nightingale was a good story, but I think because it was, I mean, she spent a ton of time researching for it, but perhaps because, you know, she didn't have that personal connection to it, you know, it's The Great Alone just really, it was just such a good novel.
Yeah, and yeah, I bet that is really popular at our library in particular, if a lot of people went to the Kristen Hanna event, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, coming up soon, I'm really excited about We That Are Young by Priti Taneja. It's a retelling of King Lear set in modern-day India, and it just sounds so intriguing. And then Killing Commendatore by Haruki Murakami, because I just love everything that he writes. And then, of course, like, we're looking forward to the latest by Louise Penny, which is coming out in November, and Tana French, who I love the Dublin Murder Squad series. I think she does such a great job with character. You know, for it being a suspense detective novel, she does such a great job with character, which is just so unusual. And I love the atmosphere that her novels create. She has a standalone novel coming out in October, so that should be pretty good.
Oh, I'll have to look that up. And I will definitely link to these in the show notes, too, for people to look further at them and see if they want to read them. And one thing it reminded me of is you're saying sort of the new titles coming out. For people that haven't taken advantage of this, one of the things I really love about using the public library is being able to hear about a book and right away place a hold on it. And even if it takes a month or two for the book to come in, you know, it just if you keep placing those holds, you wind up with a steady stream of great books that you want to read. And although now the problem is I just have a stack a mile high that I need to get to. But it's so great to be able to do that and to be able to do all that online, I think is really helpful.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And yeah, and if anybody has any questions about trying to do that online, it is super convenient. So just drop by the library anytime and we'll show you how to do it.
Yeah, and it's great that you also mentioned that you'll help people with their devices, because something else I think people aren't as much aware of is that if you are a big Kindle reader and that's how you prefer to read your books, or even with audiobooks, that you can be getting those for free from the library as well. And I think a hurdle probably is that it's hard to explain without sitting down and looking at someone's device. So I didn't realize that you do that. I think that's really helpful, that if people want to download ebooks or audiobooks, that they can go and get help in person from a librarian.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just a, you know, it's just a great alternative option for people. You know, it's another way to get your books quickly. Our OverDrive service in particular, the downloadable ebooks, audiobooks, and magazines now has expanded a lot. So we are able to offer more copies of popular titles. So it's a great alternate choice for people who are waiting, who have a high holds list, long holds list.
I think that's really, really helpful. And I guess the print magazines still from the library, I saw that you were offering the online versions now. I'll have to check that out as well. That's nice. So in terms of sort of your reading life a little bit, do you have a favorite area of the library that you gravitate toward when you're looking for books for yourself? What are some of your favorite titles?
Well, you know, I read across genres. I don't tend to stick to one in particular. I just really look for a book that's really well written. I tend to read for character more than plot. Although I do like there are a couple of mysteries and suspense novels that I've been into. But mostly, I would say I love the classics. Don Quixote and Anna Karenina, Mrs. Dalloway, 1984, To Kill a Mockingbird. I think those are pretty typical for people. But then, I mean, that sort of leads me to, you know, the novels that are well written. They're original. They have like a really great story that sticks with you. And so I like Jennifer Egan's The Goon Squad, Elizabeth Strout's Olive Kitteridge. Let's see. I mentioned the Dublin Murder Squad series because I just think she's just wildly original and she's got great characters. Joseph O'Neill's Netherland is one that's really stuck with me for years. And then Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer, because it just creeped me out. I loved it. And Emily St. John's Mandel's Station 11, because it's just the atmosphere that she creates with that book is it's an original story. She incorporates a post-apocalyptic story with, you know, this very literary, like, Shakespeare vein. So I thought that was just really interesting.
That one has been on my list for so long, and I've never actually gotten around to reading it. So I'm going to have to pick that up again.
Yeah. I think it received a lot of popularity a little bit after it was published. When it was initially published, it came out, and it didn't get a lot of readership. But now I'm seeing it appear on all kinds of different lists. So it's definitely worth returning to if you haven't read it yet.
I'm curious that as another person with a bookish job, and you're an avid reader as well, obviously, How do you keep track of your reading? Do you use Goodreads or have a reading journal, or how do you keep track of all of that?
Yeah, so for my job, I have to kind of compose little reviews for, like I said, that quarterly book share. So I save all of those, obviously, in the documents that I share with everybody. But yeah, Goodreads, I will keep track of books that I've liked in the past on Goodreads. I think it's really convenient. I mean, I know it's very popular and there's good stuff and bad stuff on it, but you know, I think it's just really convenient because you can do it on your phone, you can do it on your computer. Trello is another one that I use. It's just a great way to send different articles and have it kept somewhere online without having to, it sort of functions like Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just like, you send to Trello and you can send articles from online. Like I read a lot of the New York Times book review articles or interviews that they do. And I can just kind of like keep them all in a folder labeled, you know, next Friday fiction or something like that. So I think that's a really convenient tool. And there's
that sounds really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are pretty much the main tools that I use to keep track of it.
And as you're keeping track, I was also curious, do you make reading goals for the year, or what are your thoughts on that sort of thing, or keeping track of the number of books you read?
I like the reading goals. I think they're really fun, and I wanted to incorporate one for Chelmsford this year, but I didn't have a chance to. I think they're really fun to do. They're really great for expanding your horizons.
Mm-hmm.
If you do like a month of graphic novels or something like that, you know, you can really come across some great titles. Because I have to do it, I end up reading, you know, well over 100 books a year. And so I think I don't really set those goals for myself because it's kind of part of my job, I guess.
Yeah, you're going to get to plenty of them anyway.
Yeah.
But that reminded me, did you help make the adult summer reading challenge? I thought that was cool, that bingo card available.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah. It was really popular. It went out. I think we gave away over 200 to people. And it was surprisingly popular with people, and people kept saying that they really liked it. I just like the, I wanted to incorporate more than just, you know, read in different genres. I wanted to incorporate like our programs and the various other weird things that you can check out. Like, we have a telescope, a ukulele, a Wi-Fi hotspot. We have experience bags, which are kind of cross collections in a bag, on a theme. So there's a Paris theme, there's an Italy theme, there's a geek out weekend theme, and they're just, you know, different DVDs and other materials that you can check out all in one bag. And then our binge boxes, which are collections of DVDs all in one box. So there's like 6 to 8 DVDs in a box, and they can check them out and just, you know, binge watch those movies for a whole weekend.
I love that.
Just wanted to make sure that everybody knew about all of these other services that we provide from the library. It's really a summer challenge more than a summer reading challenge. But I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, that's great. That's such a creative way to help people realize all the different ways they can take advantage of the library. I think that's really nice. Mm-hmm. And I guess just a last couple of questions. So as someone else who reads for their job, do you ever run into a feeling that reading is starting to feel like work, or do you struggle to find time to read as much as you'd like?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't read everything that comes
mm-hmm.
out. Sometimes I'll rely on reviews, and I'll kind of pick out the pieces that I know will be attractive to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because there, like you said before, there just isn't enough time to read things that you don't like. So I definitely read the things that I really like in order to avoid making it feel like work if I'm not getting into a book. But I know that I have readers in my community that will get into it. I'll sort of go through the reviews and what other people have said about it, and I'll kind of keep that in mind for recommending those books to people.
Yeah, I think the reviews, in a lot of ways, those professional reviews are like a librarian's best friend for collection development and even just prioritizing. So I guess lastly, what library events are you looking forward to this fall that are going to be going on?
That I'm looking forward to. We have our How To Tuesdays series, and so we're having a Ken Warkol is coming to talk about beekeeping.
Cool.
I think that's surprisingly popular in this area. I didn't realize it before, but he'll be bringing a selection of different honeys for people to taste, and you can, you know, he'll help you taste the subtle differences based on where the bees have collected the pollen. So it's really pretty fascinating. So I'm excited about that. And then
cool.
We have a really highly praised speaker coming in to talk about his trip through the Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine. And along the way, he took all these great photographs. And so he'll be sharing his story. And he's just a really excellent presenter. He's very down to earth. He's funny. And so I think people will really enjoy that program if they come.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
And I saw, too, you have something I'm looking forward to, the big annual book sale.
Yeah.
I'm excited for
right.
it.
Oh, yeah. That's a big event. So that starts on the 21st. At the town office's gym, and they've been collecting tons of books for it, and it's just a giant gym full to the brim with books. And you can get them for a really great deal too. I know a lot of people come in for the children's books too, because you know, kids go in and out of books so often that you can get books in really good condition for use.
For sure. I remember I left with giant bags last year, so I'm looking forward to that. I think I left two enormous bags and spent like $12 or something. So
right.
Really, really great. Well, Jessica, thanks so much for speaking with me, and I'm excited to attend some of those events this fall and hopefully see you around at the library.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was a great conversation.
For links to all of the books mentioned on this week's episode, you can go to the show notes or visit abookishhome.com. To find out more about the Chelmsford Library, you can visit their website, chelmswordlibrary.org, and follow them on Twitter at ChelmswordLib. If you're enjoying the podcast, please make sure to rate and review in iTunes, and of course, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And stay connected. I'm on Twitter at abookishhome, and my blog is abookishhome.com. Thanks for listening, and happy readings.